Welcome to the Full of Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 3:29 p.m. That is Pacific Standard Time, and today is February 22nd, and I apologize for the late recording of the audio. It is due to technical factors, primarily owing to me having a fat finger. So what we had today in the markets was a pretty strong performance in Hong Kong, and that was the Hang Seng, but also the H-Share Index, and I'll pull that index up in a moment. But then we also saw in Italy that the index was down initially over 1%, but it was able to recapture some of that decline before the end of the day. And it was a pretty quiet day on Wall Street. The Dow Jones was up very marginally. The S&P was pretty much unchanged. And then there was some pressure in the commodity markets, and that was reflected in both Mexico and in Brazil. If we flip over and take a quick look at oil prices, they were down today, but they are up very marginally in after-hours trading. Natural gas is still around that $2.50 area. It did bounce in here today. When we look at the valuations on the HSCEI, that H-Share Index, then we get a pretty good reason for why there is some support coming into this market. The price-earnings ratio is less than 10. The yield is about 3.5%. The three big Chinese banks represent 10% each of the index. So Chinese banks are being looked upon as perhaps representing value. When we look at that medium-term chart, it is a long-term range that has been in evidence now since really the latter stages of 2008. So we're creeping up on over 7 years into our eighth year already. And it is rallying from the lower side. It has just pushed through that psychological 10,000 level, and at 500 points north of that now, we can say that this is a pretty emphatic breakout. And the potential is that it will rally back up towards the upper side of that range, which is a pretty significant advance, even in the context of a market that is ranging over the medium to long term. When we start to look at that, and in terms of what is animating the investor action over the last few months, there is certainly a drive to try and find something that is undervalued. The market has been rallying now for much of the last 7 or almost 8 years, and now people are starting to look for something that is undervalued, and China is one of those. Now, obviously, there are clear reasons for why it is undervalued, and there is significant political risk and regulatory risk and political interference risk, and then we can also say that there is political handover risk. Personally, I think that is one of the biggest risks, that Xi Jinping shows no great desire to hand over power. And if he does so, then it may be to Wang Qishan, who is his key lieutenant, and therefore they would be concentrating power within the hands of two people. It would almost be like moving just like what Putin did in Russia. He became president and then prime minister and back to president. And I wonder, is that what Xi Jinping has in terms of his personal agenda? But of course, that is pure conjecture. We'll see what happens over the next couple of years. At the moment, the prognosis is likely that the Chinese markets are going to continue to range higher, and the Hong Kong markets are leveraged to global growth. The other market that is of particular interest at the current juncture is India. The rupee is trading above the trend mean for the first time in a considerable period. There are two key variables. One is going to be the Uttar Pradesh elections, and in addition to that, the RBI is talking about potentially tightening some of the very lax policy that it has been committed to for the last few years. And if inflation is in fact coming down, then the rupee is cheap. It has been going down for a considerable period already. A depreciation of 45 to 65 is a significant deterioration over the last few years. And it is a potentially bullish factor because it will encourage foreign investors to become active in this market once more. If we look at the Nifty index, it is testing the upper side of a medium-term range, and that is certainly something that we should be looking at. That where there are a significant number of those Asian markets are pushing the upper side of their respective ranges. Japan was relatively quiet in here today, but it also represents a medium-term bullish scenario. That the Nikkei has been pretty much range-bound. The yen has unwound its oversold condition relative to the trend mean, and the TOPIX is rallying back up towards the upper side of a 28-year range. So, and the Dow Jones has already pushed through the psychological 20,000 level. The Nikkei hasn't done it quite yet, but there is nothing on the chart to suggest that it isn't going to be able to achieve that fact. The S&P 500 has rallied very impressively over the last few weeks, and it is now this has been an explosive breakout. There is no evidence just yet that it is over, but it has been enormously impressive, and a short-term overbought condition is increasingly obvious. There are two markets in which volatility has been particularly inert. One is the stock markets. Volatility is really quite low, but we now have evidence of a higher reaction low on the VIX, suggesting that there are at least some people beginning to hedge their exposure to what has been a very powerful breakout. But the other one that has had a very powerful breakout is oil. Oil prices have been pretty much range bound for the last while, and that is something that we have talked about in successive audios. So when we think about all of these factors, then there has been no great deal. There has been nothing to worry about in markets for the last 6 or 7 weeks, and that is in itself rather strange. That we are looking at the banking sector leading on the upside in Europe, we're looking at the banking sector recovering in China. The banks are leading on the upside in India and indeed in Indonesia. And then in Japan, the bank sector is doing rather well. So what about the banking sector in Europe? In the UK today, Lloyds turned in a rather impressive performance, and it did rather well. Whereas the European banking sector is testing the lower side of its range. Granted, it did sustain a move off that the low of the day today, but there is nothing in the way of an upward dynamic. It really does need to hold that low around the 110 area. That represents the region of the trend mean. It represents the progression of higher reaction lows since July of last year. When we look at HSBC, which returned or gave its earnings yesterday, it pulled back really very sharply. This is far from the most consistent trend in the world, but it was able to recoup some of its loss in here today. It would suggest that even HSBC, which came through with not particularly impressive earnings and is in the region of a previous area of resistance, that its reaction might be limited to a pullback in consolidation. Lloyds, which is a purely domestic UK bank, has announced a special dividend and is rallying up towards the upper side of its base formation and is trading above the 200-day moving average and has broken a medium-term progression of lower rally highs, suggesting that it isn't all bad news for the UK, and that the benefits of a weaker currency and the potential for an administration in London that will be able to use the excuse of Brexit to push through both reforms and deregulation should be quite beneficial for a domestic bank. And Barclays will be announcing its earnings tomorrow, and that then is perhaps splitting the difference between HSBC and Lloyds, since it derives more than half its revenue from outside of the UK, but it does look like it is bouncing from the region of the trend mean. So therefore, it is European banks are the ones where there is the epicenter of risk. It is the Italian banks because Italy has got so many banks, but something that is not, and it is then the reason why people look on Italy with such a risk-averse way of thinking is because they don't have control of their own currency. In fact, Sweden and Denmark have got just as many listed banks as Italy does, but they do have their own currencies, and that is the clear differentiation. I've said for quite some time now that the way to save the EU will be to abandon the fiscal straitjacket, the lower standards of living that everyone in the EU has had to put up with is no longer acceptable to populations. And despite the fact that global economic growth is picking up and also picking up within the EU, I think politicians have run out of time. And there is the increasing possibility that we are going to see a disruptive force, if not in the French election, then somewhere else. And the only way to appease disrupted voters, disgruntled voters, will be to give them what they want. And if current politicians can't do that, then politicians who will be found. And I think with that, I will leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.